Hello and welcome back to our middle school podcast, and I thank you for joining us again. My name's Greg O'Neill, the head of middle school, and we recently wrote to Year 9 parents about social media and some of the traps for teenagers associated with misusing or inappropriate use of or irresponsible use of social media. To have a further chat about social media and joining me on today's podcast is our Year 9 pastoral area leader, Mr. Alex Sullivan. Welcome back, Alex.
Thanks, mate. Good to be back.
We will say from the outset that in this podcast, we're not going to be referencing any specific incidents. But we do want to talk about the sorts of issues that we regularly help our young men resolve and some of the dangers that we need to continually highlight to our students and to parents about the common traps of various social media platforms. But we're not referencing anything specific here. Some of what we talk about might be close to home for a few people, but and our intent here is to say these are the common areas where we need to continually address and support our young men. I think the first steps in this podcast is, Alex, probably helping us identify what those typical issues are. Now, in your role, you'd support a large number of students, along with the other pastoral area leaders as well. And obviously, at different times, some boys require more support than others. Now, when it comes to social media, what do you reckon are the most common issues that we experience here?
Yeah, a lot of the boys at Villa are, you know, quite collaborative. We pride ourselves on how we, you know, encourage them to be collaborative. And that's moved to a sort of quite a culture of boys creating and establishing and communicating in multi sort of person groups across different formats or different platforms. Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, where there's not just one person that they're conversing with. It's big group chats that they're talking to. And most of the time, you know, there are issues that arise because, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit further in, but when boys are faced with a keyboard and a screen and not face-to-face with people, they don't have the same consequences in how they interact with people. And when it's a big group chat, that mob mentality sort of comes into play where certain people will say certain things to get certain reactions and can be taken, you know, any which way for whoever's reading or receiving. Mm. And a lot of the situations that we sort of deal with can be, you know, parents. Most parents have access to their kids' devices. They see what they're talking about and what they're doing, whether the students know about it or whether they don't know about it. And sometimes the context is lost in those conversations, and it causes a lot of debate and a lot of heat and a lot of conflict. So a lot of the things we're dealing with are boys, you know, trying to develop their identity on an online platform that's not really designed to be an identity construction tool. It's certainly not in that way.
Yeah, it's meant. I guess it's designed, and MSN would have been the original back in the day of group messaging and being part of it. But it's sort of really taken off, and we see the majority of it on Instagram, Snapchat, and Discord of recent times. And this will involve, you know, sometimes three or four mates, sometimes 10 mates, sometimes a class, sometimes big chunks of a cohort, all part of a thread. And I think you're right. What we're seeing is guys probably act outside of their typical value set and write something that doesn't align with their own values, family values, school values, but they're sitting behind a phone or a computer, and it doesn't. The danger of these chat rooms, I think, is they're not regulated by an adult.
No.
Occasionally, a parent will stumble across it and be really alarmed what they read. Same when it's presented to us.
Mm.
But these things often have a life form of their own. These group chats, and whoever sets the chat at the start is the take responsibility for administrating, I guess. But so much is out of their hands in these big group conversations, which you can lose control of really, really quickly.
And can weigh really heavily on some of those boys that really do create the chat with good intentions and it does not, you know, go in a positive manner, and they are, you know, stuck trying to deal with something that, you know, most adults couldn't even handle trying to overcome.
Okay, so we've got group chats, and I think it's worthwhile noting for parents too, Discord is a growing you know, it's a platform that can be used on the phone, that can be used on their laptop.
Yeah, pretty much anything that has access to the internet or a web browser, Discord can be used in. And it used to be a game chat. It used to be designed purely for boys to play games on, where they can speak verbally on. They can also, you know, type virtually on as well. But has now become sort of more common as the new.
Yeah, it's you know, it's worth noting. It's trending heavily with our middle school kids, particularly our 8s and 9s. A lot of them trending more to have those group chats on that platform than on Instagram or Snapchat. Let's go to, so we've identified that was one of the issues. What would you say is another issue?
Yeah, one of the big ones, and something we're all really aware of, we always get that notification on the phone, or if you're an iPhone user, you get that notification on how much time you've actually spent on your device. And it can be a real time sink. A lot of the boys, you'll ask them, how long have you spent on your phone in a day? And they'll say half an hour, or an hour and a half, when really in reality, you've got your phone's usually recorded, and it can be somewhere in the upwards range of 3 to 5 hours. We question them in PD about certain apps that you can get lost in, and you think it's only 10 minutes and all of a sudden it turns into an hour of just flicking through, and a lot of the boys immediately agreed with and certainly confirmed that's something that they're doing. So it's
we'd been talking about social media in year 9 PD, and I'd asked the group how many had got onto TikTok or Instagram Reels or something like that with the idea of killing 5 minutes and just having a bit of downtime, and that 5 minutes turned into an hour of just scrolling up onto the next clip. And what do you reckon, 80%?
Yeah, it was an immediate reaction.
Everyone goes, oh, I know, how bad is that? And myself included, yourself included, it is an absolute trap there. And we're knowing more now about the dopamine hit that they get in front of their phones, and these social media platforms are designed to keep you on there for longer.
That's right, they're trying to absolutely keep your attention, because the more attention they get for you, the more revenue they gain because of the ads they're pumping.
That's right. So I reckon I'm with you, there's a real concern about the amount of time that kids can spend, and adults, but when we're talking about 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, with all the vulnerabilities that come with kids of that age, we've got to be really mindful. And most parents will say, if their kid's been on socials, been on socials for an hour and all their phone, and said, can you just get off your phone for a bit? They'll be agitated. They'll potentially be defiant, and that's all coming down off
those addictive personality traits.
And coming off that dopamine hit. That nothing competes. Certainly, very rarely school competes with that that light flicking at you and that entertainment.
It's an affirmations. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And coming off that can take its time. So I think as educators, we've been mindful of that. It's one of the reasons why we've really banned phones to be carried on them. They have to be locked in their lockers. We've got a number of kids who've tested our boundaries on that and are reporting in each day and handing their phones in, because we're saying that with that little buzz in your pocket, it's dull, but the appeal to go back to it is so strong, and there's no way a kid can focus on his studies when he knows that something might be happening there. And I think we've done, for some kids, some real service here around this space about saying there's no reason now to have it on you. In fact, the rule says you can't between the hours of 8:30 and 3 o'clock.
Yeah. And boys even get to the point where they think it's funny, but we sort of try and give them visiting rights at breaks to check in, and that's so evident of the fact that they are so attached to it. And how can you have such an engaged learning experience in the classroom when you've got that constant buzz? It only takes one for you to be broken out of what you're thinking about in class to think about what that buzz could be.
So we've got content on the group chats as one of the things that we deal with regularly. We've got the amount of time they spend on socials. Is there another common issue that we deal with?
Probably the biggest one that we, and the most damaging one for all parties involved, and quite a uncomfortable one that it certainly needs to be talked about, is the idea of sexting, and how boys are presented, or any student is presented with opportunity to, you know, form identity and make connections with people and, you know, start to really solidify who they are and create that idea of, you know, that romantic relationship, or at least a relationship that, you know, they haven't had before, on a platform that is not regulated, as we spoke about, and given opportunity like, you know, a Discord chat or an Instagram chat or, you know, a Snapchat chat that's designed to, you know, be quite intimate, can cause a lot of boys to fall into the trap of thinking that whatever they send is only to that person.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, as we all know, anything you put online is essentially the digital footprint that you create. And what the message we're trying to get to a lot of these boys are is that no matter who you're sending it to, as soon as you send something, no matter what it is, as soon as you've sent it, it's out of your hands. And that person has absolute control over anything that's been sent to them.
Yep.
You know, whether it's a comment or a video or a photo, whatever it may be, it's certainly, you know, rolling the dice on how it's going to be perceived.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the reasons why we as adults need to keep a close eye on the usage and how they're using their phones. And for what purpose? I mean, we've seen the issue of sexting and the sharing of inappropriate images, mm-hmm. As early as year seven.
Yep.
You know, not just this year, but in prior years as well. It's something that we handle in a case by case, really discreetly and sensitively here. And I think in those cases, we create a lot of learning for the boys. Yep. And despite the fact, you know, in year seven, in year eight, in year nine, we would re-emphasise all the laws surrounding inappropriate content being created and shared, and specifically talk about sexting in year eight and year nine.
Yep.
There are boys that continue to fall into that trap, and it is a very, very dangerous space because of the, as you rightly said, of the damage that can be caused for all parties involved when these situations go badly. And not all situations are people that the boys necessarily know the person on the other end.
Yep.
You know, everyone creates their own online identity, and it is typically quite different from the identity of their real person.
Yep.
And that includes people on the other end of sexting as well. So this is a space where we've got to continue to educate. I'm not exactly sure what is going to protect every kid.
And I think, unfortunately, we have to be very reactive in the situation, being as proactive as possible in the education. But boys, you know, the brain development that they go through between 13 and 14 and 15 is so vast that they are really working off emotions, and so really being aware of the potentials and the pitfalls and being mindful of the spaces that they're and the opportunities that they're provided, you know, can be a really good way to be proactive. But unfortunately, boys just, you know, have that moment.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, and events of recent weeks, and Mark as principal wrote to parents about a letter recently, mm-hmm. alerting parents to some content that was being produced online, and as adults we need to be really mindful of that content. I think it is another example that highlights the ease at which a 12, 13, 14 year old can access explicit content, violent content, just so easily.
At the touch of their finger, yeah.
And at an age when they're just simply not ready to consume it. Not that there's ever an age to appropriate, but
no.
To enable to process what it is they've seen. And that includes some of the, you know, really sexual content that can be accessed online as well.
But also the impressions from people, you know, like the idea that, you know, from 10 to 15, you know, young adolescents are essentially forming their identity. And in any other situation, without social media or without the devices, they would be forming that identity in a safe environment like school or the home or in their community. Online, you step out of that safe zone, and there are parts to social media that are designed to, you know, essentially promote a false reality. And when impressionable adolescents are forming their identity, they're consuming this false sense of reality that's causing such tumultuous, you know, destructive understandings of who they are, when in reality it's just essentially a a program or a platform that's designed to make money. And these adolescents are going through thinking that that's the standard that they have to achieve. And so we're finding anxiety and stress and all of the real mental illnesses that are coming through that we would typically see in 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Are now coming and presenting in the 10 to 15-year-olds.
So what we do is we need to make sure that the adults are armed with information here. I think that's really critical. We need to be skilling the kids on making good decisions and understanding the rules and expectations around using phones and using social media. So those boundaries need to be really clear, but we need to arm parents and teachers with information. And in the last week, you'd said you should really check out this documentary or docudrama, I think it might be called. It's currently released on Netflix. It's a 2020 release called The Social Dilemma.
Yeah, The Social Dilemma.
I've sat down and watched it, as I know you have.
Yep.
And it is a really... it's a good watch. It's a 90-minute watch on Netflix. I'll say it again. It's called The Social Dilemma. And it was, I think, really insightful... for me about the way that a lot of these Facebook, Instagram, social media platforms are put together specifically designed to keep you on there longer.
Yeah.
And the algorithm that can adapt to you. So, you know, my personal interaction with social media and the way it talks to me is totally different to you because of the way I've engaged to it. So it's reactive. And I'm watching this documentary thinking... God, that's why that pops up on my feed, because I Googled that a week ago. You know, those new pair of Nike shoes. Suddenly they're on my Instagram.
And it
has become reactive. Now, this show highlights with all the people who work for these companies, used to work for these companies, how deliberate they are in targeting. Now, I put my 14-year-old self into that space, or 13-year-old self in that space, and I know personally I would not have had the skill to consume and manage the way that social media is presented and pictured just for me.
Yeah, and especially for boys that are looking for independence and searching for independence to, you know, that, and that's the reason they look at that at-risk behaviour, is because they're looking for a sense of identity and independence. If they feel the things that are being tailored to them is their independence, then it's only promoting that identity, that tumultuous identity that, you know, it's not manageable or maintainable. And it really scares. It made me scared of my phone. Essentially, I said I had my phone sitting on the table, and I just saw notification after notification popping up as I was watching the documentary. And it was just, it kind of thought, well, how much control do we actually have? Even to the point where the people that created these algorithms haven't got control themselves. They are, you know, going through that process of, you know, well, what's the, at what point do we realise that this is a program no longer for social benefit but for anti-social benefit kind of thing?
Yeah. Did you just get a message on your phone right now?
No, it's a student's phone that I just confiscated.
It's going off, is it?
And it's going off.
We just heard the ping. Yeah. It's great timing.
It's actually great timing.
Just in wrapping up the podcast, you know, I'd certainly recommend parents wanting to, you know, to watch that. It's a really worthy documentary. Very easy to watch as well. I think if you're worried about your kid, if you think he's in the rabbit hole of social media and gone down and just worried about where he's at, reach out. There's a level of support that we offer here that can be effective.
Even if you're unsure about certain programs, I've had, you know, parents call and ask me about certain programs that I've been able to tell them, yeah, you know, this is a solid one, or this is, be aware of it, or these other pitfalls.
Yep, on our website, you know, under the Student Life links, there's technology and BYOD and cyber safety links there as well that are really helpful for parents who want to put some of those measures in place. But as I said, this is a partnership here, and we can't ignore our young men and where they're at with their phones, and part of this has to be allowing that little bit of trust, but also creating the, you know, those tight boundaries and expectations. I mean, you watch that documentary and all of them, not want to spoil, but I think all those people say they wouldn't let their kids have social media
And they do reenactments in the actual documentary where a young family and some young kids are, you know, displaying behaviours that we see every day.
Yeah.
So it's certainly it's very relevant.
Yeah. Alex, thanks for joining us on the podcast and having a chat about this. And to parents listening, we really appreciate your ongoing support, particularly in this space. And of course, thank you for tuning into the podcast. And we'll hope to you'll be hearing from us again at the start of next term. Thanks for now.